So tonight we're going to be continuing on the parables of Jesus. And if you can turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to be looking at verses 14 to 30. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. This parable is known as a parable of the talents. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you do not sow, and gathering where you scatter no seed. And I was afraid, and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." But his master answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank. And on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In the place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." As I was studying through this passage and talking with a few other people about this passage, listening to sermons and trying to understand exactly what this parable is talking about, I was reminded that it's known as a parable of talents. You can also say that it's a way to say it is our life is about stewardship before God. See, the passage starts off by saying, "For it's just like." If you look in verse 14, it says, "For it's just like." In order to look at that, we have to see, okay, what is Jesus comparing it to? He's talking about something else. If you look earlier in this chapter, Jesus talks about a parable of the 10 virgins. And he's comparing the kingdom of heaven. So he continues on and says, "It's just like that." So we need to look at the context and what Jesus is comparing us. So we're talking about the kingdom of heaven. Then we see that there's this man who goes out on his journey. And before he does, he calls his slaves over. He entrusts 5 talents, 2 and 1 to each of them. And this man's gone away for a long time and he comes back. And when he does, the first slave who gave 5 to says, "I brought 5 more. The master is pleased, praises him. Similarly, the second slave who is given 2 says, "I got 2 more. Again, the master is pleased and praises that one too. Finally, you get to the third slave. And he's called out and he says that his fear is what kept him from doing anything with this talent. He dug a hole and buried it. And then returns it back to the master as is. Here you see the master being upset, and he shames the slave in front of others. So I started looking at this, like, how do we understand this passage? We need to understand who the characters are, and I guess we would all agree that the master here is Jesus. That's who this character is played here. Jesus goes away, and that's where we're at right now. God's word tells that Jesus is coming back. And similar to the parable earlier in this chapter, when the bridegroom comes, when this master comes back, is unknown. It's just the slaves are waiting. They're not sure when it's going to happen. So how do we apply this parable into our lives? When I started, I said this parable is all about our lives, our stewardship before God. When we hear the word stewardship, the first thing that usually comes to our mind is financial. Someone that's smart in how they save their money or spend their money. But we need to stop and realize that stewardship is more than just a financial thing. It's how we respond in our attitudes, our positions in life, our interactions with others, our interactions as parents, husbands, wives, coworkers, students. I can keep going on and on. How do we respond? If we look in verse 16, we see this first slave's response. And the word that stood out to me was the word immediate. You see that the slave immediately went out. He got these 5 talents and he immediately went out. The eagerness he had to make the master proud, the eagerness he had to want to extend what the master given him. When this talent was given to him, back in the day, when they say a talent, they're talking about approximately 20 years worth of wages for a person. It's like a talent. 5 talents here. This is a large amount. Person's first response, I just got all of this. But instead, the response is, this is the master's and I want to do something. His response was about investing what was given to him. I'm sure many of you have received advice in investments. And sometimes you'll hear something that someone say, you know, you won't see it now. Just wait. Just hang in there. Invest now, but you'll see. Just hang in there. Just wait. Similarly, if you look at scripture, if you look at eternity, how we invest our lives for Jesus will matter. Just wait. From this passage in our own lives, we notice a few things. Jesus is the one who entrusts these possessions. So we know we serve a God who created everything. We know we serve a God who is owner of all. And he's entrusted it to us. Do we look at everything around us with, if I were to put it in layman terms, God lens? The opening hymn we sang today was, Be Thou My Vision. Is that our prayer? Is that our goal? That when we look, we see through God's eyes. Everything that's given to us, everything that's around us, we see it as God's entrusted to us. Or do we look at it with a selfish, it's mine kind of attitude? You know, the career we have because of the education that we worked so hard at, is that something that we say we earned it, we accomplished it? The nice house we live in, the nice car we drive, do we see that as mine? Do we see that as something that, you know, I worked really hard, I got earned this money, and I was able to use it and get this for me? Or do we look at it as God, this is God's given, and now I'm responsible in how I use it? See, I was going through this passage, and I have to admit, I was convicted. And I think that's the best thing about God's word and studying God's word, is you see God's word convict. I need to do a better job of this, of realizing that I need to look at things more through God's eyes than understanding that it's not mine. And that brings me to my first point. Everything we have is a gift from God. Stop for a second to think about personality. The personality you have, the family around you. I want you to stop to think about people in your lives, your coworkers. Yes, even the annoying ones. These are all gifts from God. Your children, your husband, your wife, church members. These are all people that God put in your life and trusted you with. Now, when you start to think about all these people, all these things that are in your life, you're going to be one of two different people. You're going to be either an owner or you're going to be a steward. Now, the owner's mindset is, this is mine. I own this. I can do whatever I want with this. While on the other hand, you have the steward whose mindset is, this was given to me. This is God's. How am I going to respond to make God proud? Because he's the actual owner of this. You see two different responses based on how you approach this. Again, this lesson wasn't easy for me because there's many times that I've seen myself as the owner of my own life, owner of my time, owner of the money I have, thinking I earned it. I can do whatever I want with it. And then this passage breaks me and realizes that nothing I have is because of who I am. I found myself so many times thinking, I'm the owner, I'm the boss. One day he's going to ask me for an account of how I live my life. Yeah, I failed many times, but I'm thankful that God's not finished with me. Looking at everything in our lives, let's realize that we need to let go of that ownership mindset and put on that stewardship mindset. The house we have, let's not worry about it getting messy because we have too many guests coming over. The time we have, let's not worry about we're spending too much time with people. I need a break. I've caught myself doing that too. Going back to this passage, we see something about the different slaves. Each was given according to what the master knew they were able to handle. And we see that in verse 15. To one he gave 5, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. The one with 5 immediately went out. The one with 2 that was given could have had the response of, why did I get 2 and not 5? That guy got 5. That's not fair. How many times do we catch ourselves looking at the opportunities that other people have and say, that's not fair. I wish I had those opportunities. I would be so much more profitable if I had that opportunity. What we're telling God is that we know better what we are capable and able to do than the God who created everything knows. What we're saying is, my finite mind knows better than infinite God who created everything. Isn't it scary that sometimes it happens so easily where we try to want to be fair in everything we do? You know, I hear this in my house a lot. Kids say, it's not fair. And my response always is, life isn't fair. That's the way God looks at it right now and says, he knows better. He just wants us to take whatever we're given and use it to the max. To be faithful with what we're given. And then we look in verse 18. We see the word but, a contrast word here. In contrast, we have this third slave. He wasn't like the first two. The first two immediately went out. They invested, they used what was given to them to further their master's kingdom. Instead, he goes out and digs a hole and buries it. He doesn't do anything with his investment. He doesn't try to increase the master's kingdom. At the same time, this slave doesn't go and spend it on worthless things. He doesn't do it like what the prodigal son did, recklessly spending. Instead, he just kept it buried. You could say, hey, I didn't do anything wrong. It could be like some of us today who just go along. We just show up. Come to church and we're just here. But do we really invest what God's given us? In verse 19, you see that this master comes back after a long time. I'm sure days went by, and these slaves were wondering, is this master ever going to come back? So we know from God's word that Jesus will return, and we can count on it. Yes, days, months, years go by, and we sometimes wonder, when, God, when are you going to come back? Why is it taking so long? But the more time we have on earth is more time that we're able to use what we have given for God. Which brings us to our second point. We're going to be held accountable for our lives. See, we're blessed to have God's word in its entirety. We know how this story is going to end. We are blessed that way, where we can look and say, we know what's going to happen. We know that in the end, there will be two different judgments. We see in Revelation chapter 20 that there's going to be one about the great white throne. There's going to be a judgment where books are going to be open and people are going to be judged, great and small, based on what they've done. And then another book is going to be open, the Lamb's Book of Life. Anyone's name who is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be completely separated from God. Now, if we trusted in Jesus and who he is and what he's done for us, if we trusted in his death, his burial, his resurrection to pay for our sins, and that's what we're putting our hope in, then we don't have to worry about the great white throne. But it doesn't mean that we're not going to come upon judgment. It doesn't mean that we're not going to be held accountable. See, point two, it says that we're all going to be held accountable for our lives. Turn with me, if you can, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 13 to 15. First Corinthians 3, 13 to 15. 13 says, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it's to be revealed with fire. The fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work, which he has built on, it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. See, each one of us, our works will be examined. How we lived our lives, everything we've done will be examined. And it looks like it's going to be done publicly like that. If we are like the first two slaves who faithfully used what we had, when that day comes and the master comes to take account, you'll be able to put this through the fire, and it's going to be precious in his eyes. It's going to stand the fire. In verse 14, it says, that person will receive a reward. On the other hand, anyone whose works goes to the fire and is burned up, I mean, the person's still saved, but they're barely making it through. Is that the kind of life we want to have when we're in front of the Lord, barely making it in? How do we want to be acknowledged by God? And brings me to our last point. The reward is worth the risk on earth. See, when the Lord sees us make the most of what he has given to us, the reward he has in store for us is worth it. So when we live in a world right now where Christianity is mocked. We live in a world where it's foolishness to follow Christ. I mean, if you're still in 1 Corinthians, you just turn one page previously, you'll see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The world looks at us. When we do things for the Lord, when we do things for others, they look at it as foolishness. It's a waste of time. The mocking is going to be there here on earth. The time you take out of your schedule just to be with God's people, to be around God's word, that's foolishness when you can be out there making it in the world. To hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful, is better than anything this world can temporarily give us, because that is for eternity. So the reward of hearing the Lord say that, the reward of being able to enter into this joy with the Master, is better than anything this world can do. Just wait. Invest now in the Lord, his work, and you'll see in due time, it's going to be so worth it. So let me challenge you with the same way this passage challenged me. Think of what God has entrusted you in your life. In my life, he's entrusted me as a husband, as a father, a coworker, a neighbor, a member here at EOBC. Am I making the most of every opportunity I have to bring glory to God? Am I making the most of every moment I have with my family to make sure that that is what lasts forever? How about your lives, the opportunities that you have, that God has entrusted you with? Let's stop looking as owners of things and look at it as stewards of God. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we can come and know that you've entrusted this to us. Lord, we're asking that you help us, give us the strength to do the best we can. Help us to not look at others, to be jealous of others, but to realize what you've given to us and make the most of it. Pray that we would further your kingdom in everything we do. Now, as we spend time praying, talking to you, bringing our supplications to you, Lord, we pray that you would be glorified, you would hear our words, our supplications, and Lord, and you would answer. Because you're a God that answers. In your name we pray. Amen.